are hearing about how $660 billion in automatic spending cuts and tax hikes will send the economy into recession next year, and that's the fiscal cliff. The rest of the story is that the cliff is really more like a slope and has various elements that would phase in over the course of 2013. Pieces of the fiscal cliff that are easy to fix are things like the alternative minimum tax and the scheduled cutbacks in fees paid to doctors under Medicare and Medicaid. This is about $90 billion of that $660, about 14% of the cliff, and Congress already has the legislation in place to avoid both of those pieces. So Congress has actually been working on this, and that's one of the untold stories, that there's been a lot of wrangling that has already gone on even before the election. Probably the biggest issue in the amount of cuts is the extended unemployment benefits and the end of the payroll tax holiday. And these cuts are widely favored by Democrats and not favored by the Republican side. But it looks like now that the Democrats will prevail in that area, and that's actually good news for the low to middle income earners. And so that's another $162 billion of the $660 total that is likely to not be as big a problem as some would suspect.
So what would sliding over the fiscal cliff look like for the upper class, people earning more than $250,000?
The average higher income earner has got a lot of issues because some of the itemized deductions that they normally take may get phased out if these tax cuts go away, in addition to higher tax brackets. And so you're talking about something on the order of 5 to 10% of additional taxes, and it could be that higher number if someone also has a lot of capital gain income, income from things that would also be impacted by the taxes on investment side as opposed to just the taxes on the regular income side. And then, in addition to all that, you have the additional 3.8% for this group, which is the tax that goes into effect in 2013 to pay for the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, so-called Obamacare.
How about for the middle class?
You're in a range of somewhere around 3 to 5%. And so, you know, again, if you're making $100,000 a year, 5% is $5,000. That is going to taxes instead of into your pocket or, into your 401k plan. And that's the biggest danger for a lot of people, is that they'll see the taxes. They won't want to reduce their own spending, and so they'll reduce their saving for the future. And most people in that $50,000 to $100,000 income category are under-saving for their future anyway. And so that's part of the issue as well, apart from the fact that going down the fiscal slide or slope or cliff could send us into a recession next year.
And how will going over the fiscal cliff affect the lower class in our nation?
There's quite a few effects on the lower income bracket. Our main scenario is that we end up with the cliff being not that $660 billion number, but probably closer to $150 to $200 billion. Still significant, but as a percent of the economy, only about 1%. And because other parts of the economy are showing life now, like housing, it's entirely possible that we can absorb that in 2013. And that's really the key for a lot of those lower-income folks, because if we had another hit to the economy, probably we're going to have a number of layoffs or income just won't go up as much. And that's where the lower-income folks really get hit hard.
Because many of them are service providers?
Right. We have a real confidence crisis in business today. And even though consumer confidence has been going up of late, business confidence has been going down. And when business confidence goes down, they expand less, they hire less people, and so the danger of the fiscal cliff is really about creating another crisis of confidence. Now, the flip side of this, the story that you don't hear out there very often, is that if they can do true tax reform, similar to what was done in 1986, which laid the foundation for a really nice economic boom back then, it will set the stage for us getting out of this muddle through slow growth economy and cause hiring to go up and, you know, again, help every one of the brackets, lower, middle, and upper.
And what would true tax reform look like?
Well, there's a lot of different proposals that are being bandied around, and so it can get kind of confusing. But the one area that we think is most likely is that you'll end up with a lot of the special deductions taken out of the tax code. It could even include a gradual phase-out of things like home mortgage interest deduction. And what you end up with is a great savings to the federal government and a kind of a gradual shift of some taxes that are higher, some revenues that are higher, in conjunction with also being able to do some entitlement reform.
But Dennis, wouldn't phasing out the home mortgage interest deduction have a negative impact on our housing industry?
You would think so. And the reality seems to be very different. When Great Britain, England, took away their mortgage interest deduction, it had virtually no impact on their housing market. Canada has never had a deduction for home mortgage interest. And so as long as it was phased in over a 5 to 7 year period of time, so that the impact wasn't immediate, I think we could work our way through that very, very easily.
We have been here as a nation on the edge of the fiscal cliff. So, Dennis, why do we keep getting to this point? Or does the edge of the fiscal cliff keep moving?
Well, Americans historically do really well in a crisis, but we don't generally do as well being proactive. And this new world we live in, the powerful globalization, super trend effects, technology, everything is moving faster and faster. And now you really have to be preactive, not just proactive. Well, unfortunately, Congress tends to be more reactive and, wait until the crisis and actually get something fixed. Because it's about 8 years from now, about 2020, when the biggest chunk of the baby boomers start hitting Medicare, and that's when the projections are for our debt to really start going up rapidly. And if we get to 2020 and they have kicked the can down the road and not done some things in advance, it's going to be very tough to solve things. It doesn't mean the United States goes into some kind of Greek scenario, but it does mean that we start having a lot of structural problems.
Is there anyone who could actually benefit from the United States going over the fiscal cliff?
Perhaps a few of our enemies, and even some of our enemies who are enemies one day and not so much the next, thinking about a country like Russia now, we're in such a global economy that the U.S. economy going off the cliff really hurts everybody. I mean, it certainly hurts China. China doesn't want to see that happen. It really points out that a lot of the world is in a fragile state, and the U.S. is the one beacon of economic growth. Not great growth, but growth. So, for the most part, everybody's cheering this process on around the world.